nothing but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for joining us. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Again, Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Then the words of Psalm 1 tell us, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Lord, we thank you for the guide your word is to us, for us, for every part of life, every area of life, every concern, every issue, every matter, every topic. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word guides us, counsels us, empowers us, and strengthens us to walk more and more in your will and in your kingdom. Lord, help us to grow today tremendously in our love for your word and our commitment to read and meditate on your word each and every day. And help us, Lord, also to be faithful, to be wise as parents, to teach and train our children and our grandchildren to do the same, to fill their hearts and their minds with your word each and every day. Help us to recognize, Lord, how much of a blessing more and more that your word is to us as we make it a guide for every part of our lives. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to share with you an announcement about an event that we'll be a part of actually this evening here in Tupelo, Mississippi. We will be leading a festival for life at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. The address is 116B Rankin Extended, Tupelo, Mississippi, 38801. The pastor is Pastor Marcus Jernigan, and we're looking forward to being with him this evening at 6 o'clock, again, at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church. We've had a number of festivals for life over a period of years, and we're always grateful to get a chance to have them in different church fellowships. And I want to mention that, again, we want to invite any and everyone that would like to come out to be with us again tonight at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church here in Tupelo. But also, I want to challenge every listener to prayerfully consider, if you're a pastor, the possibility of inviting us and allowing us to bring this event to your church, or if you're a member of a church and you'd be willing to approach your pastor about the possibility of having this event to come. Today on the broadcast, we'll be looking at why this event is important for the church, for the community, and for our culture as a whole. So we'll be looking specifically at the topic of the ministry and mission of the Festival for Life event, and hope that you'll listen and learn. And I hope that every single listener will prayerfully consider doing what you can to help bring this event to your church, because remember, amongst other things, one of the things this event does is it stirs believers to become much more passionate about standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. You know, the figures tell us that since Roe v. Wade was passed back in 1973, somewhere around 60 million babies have died at the tragic hands of abortion. Sadly, as babies continue to die at the hands of abortion in our culture, too many people that say that they're believers and say they're pro-life are much too laid back about this issue. Many people aren't hardly even stirred about the fact that so many babies have been dying on a daily basis at the hands of abortion, and many seem to function as if it's not that big a deal, or, well, there's nothing we can do, or it's just a sad reality that we just have to live with. We don't have to live with this. By the grace of God, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ can help bring this tragedy to a halt. But we've got to decide we're going to do our part. We're going to trust God and do our part to help bring it to an end. And there's something everyone can do. All of us can pray for the end of abortion. All of us can pray that God would shut down the efforts of the enemy to continue to destroy babies. We can pray that God would close these abortion clinics in our communities, in our state, in our nation, our world. We can pray that God would send forth more laborers who would be people that are willing to both daily pray and intercede, pray against the tragedy of abortion, but also raise up more people that would be willing to be sidewalk counselors that would go there to counsel women to choose life instead of the death for their babies. People that would go and intercede outside of the clinics as well. And more persons, there's so many different things we all can do. But the fact is, all of us can do something. We should never think, well, there's nothing I can do. Sure, there's something you can do. And so as we go through the broadcast today, I hope that every single listener, as I said, will consider ways that you can do what you can to help bring this event to your church, but also think of ways that you can get involved with the wonderful work of helping to save babies and the great work of ending the tragedy of abortion in our time and in our culture. Let me share with you just in essence what the Festival for Life event is about. Basically, it's a multimedia event that uses movie clips, music videos, and movie trailers to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to do two important things. One is to aggressively come alongside and support the work of local pregnancy centers. And the second goal is that it shares about the need for the church to aggressively stand for life. Now, if you ask the question, well, what exactly does that mean to aggressively stand for life? Well, keep in mind, even many believers that say, well, I'm for life and I'm against abortion, and that's a good thing, and that's exactly the right and biblical perspective. Yet the reality is many churches will have an event. For example, this month, January, is considered Sanctity of Human Life Month, and it is, and that's a good thing to celebrate and to focus on, the sanctity of human life. But, you know, for many churches, when they have an event once a year in honor of the truth behind the sanctity of human life, that's a good thing. But remember this, the other side, that is, Satan wants to kill babies 365 days a year. And so if you look at that, think of that, a church that has an event once a year, and you see the dark side that is trying to kill babies 365 days a year, you should ask yourself the question, who's more passionate about their cause? So the reality is many of our local churches really need to be doing much, much more. We should be regularly praying for issues related to the issue of life in our individual lives and in our churches. But also we should be praying that God would raise up more churches that will do what they can do to help with these causes. For example, it's very good for all of us as believers to grow in our understanding of the great, great work that is done by the ministry of pregnancy clinics all over our nation. By the grace of God, more and more of them are popping up all over our culture, many of which are supported with their prayers and the finances of individuals and churches and other ministries as well. And they're doing a wonderful, wonderful work. Many times it's when women find themselves at a crisis in their lives, they find themselves pregnant at a difficult time, they can go to these clinics, which are absolutely free, and they provide counseling. They provide lots of free baby items to the mom. All their services are free, and often they'll provide an ultrasound. And it's important to know, too, ultrasounds are so important because God uses them to help drill home the truth that that child inside of them is very much a baby and a precious life, precious to God. It's said that right about 80% of women who are considering abortion, once they see an ultrasound, that is a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they will decide to change their mind and to give that baby life. Whether they choose to keep the baby or put the baby up for adoption, both are wonderful options and directions to go. But choosing life is so, so important. And so as believers, certainly one of the things certainly we can do is pray for God to bless and prosper the work and the ministry of these pregnancy clinics. Also, for every single listener, I want to encourage you, find out where your local pregnancy clinic is. Sadly, many, many believers and many churches don't even know what a pregnancy clinic is or what it does. There are many pastors who, if you'd ask them, what do you think about the ministry of the pregnancy clinic in your community? Many would respond by saying, what is a pregnancy clinic? Lots of pastors and church leaders don't know what pregnancy clinics are. And certainly if you don't know what they are, what they do, how in the world can you refer women who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy to go to such a place of ministry? So it's important to learn where your local pregnancy clinics are located, but also pray for them. And I would encourage you, go to the clinic and ask how you can volunteer, because they use lots and lots of volunteer help. They need volunteers desperately. But also it's important to know, too, lots of spiritual warfare happens around pregnancy clinics, and also a lot of spiritual warfare happens around abortion clinics as well. The reality is, and you think of this is very important to keep in mind, lots and lots of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions go inside the doors and often, very often, come back out because they've changed their minds. And again, my brothers and sisters, the issue there is there are people praying. There are people interceding. There's lots of spiritual warfare, angels and demons fighting all over the place around these abortion clinics, because the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness are very much in battle at every one of these places. So when God's people rise up and pray and intercede fervently, women who go through those doors often come right back out and decide, I'm going to keep my baby. Why? Because the grace of God and the Spirit of God and the angels of God are doing their work, because God's people are praying. They're praying and interceding that these lives would be saved, these babies would be saved, these women would change their minds, and thus the women too would be saved, because the reality is it's such a devastating road when a woman tragically decides to end the life of her baby and it manages to do it. Yet it's so powerful to think of how many women who have again gone into the clinics but come right back out because the Spirit of God spoke to them and said, don't do this. Give this baby a chance to live. And so many of these women have heard the Spirit of God speak to them, and they answered with a yes. Keep praying for the Spirit of God to work and to enter into these places and change the minds and the hearts of these precious women as they go, many times with the goal of ending their baby's lives, but their minds are changed time and time again by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God. Lord, thank you, Father, for your sovereignty over all of these places, all of our culture, our world. Lord, send forth your grace and your Spirit mightily to work mightily. Let your Spirit permeate the atmosphere of these places and stir the hearts and the minds of these women and cause them to change their minds all over the world to decide, I'm going to keep my baby. I'm going to give my baby life. To decide that they will either keep their baby or choose to place their baby for adoption, which is a wonderful choice. Lord, more and more, let your Spirit just flow mightily into these places and change hearts and minds. And Father, raise up more and more intercessors, believers that will pray and do their part to help your will be done, and to, by the grace of God, release the Spirit of God and the angels of God to go forward to do battle, to do the work that needs to be done to cause these precious women to change their minds and to choose life for their babies as well. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give all of us to be able to be involved in this wonderful, wonderful work. Thank you, Father, for the wonderful, powerful gift and weapon of prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Today we're looking at the topic of the ministry and mission of the event, the Festival for Life event. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
The cross is a central fact of our faith. It is no accident that our thoughts continually bring us back to Golgotha. But the cross of Christ never stands alone. The two thieves' crosses should carry a message for us too. One of the thieves joined in with the others who were mocking Jesus. It's crazy to realize that he was mouthing off and pouring out his 2 cents worth to the one who was literally loving him until the death and dying for him. The lesson in that? How close can you actually be to Jesus and still miss him? You can be in church every time the doors are open and actually serve in the capacity of your giftings and miss him. You could be a founding member of the church and still miss him. You can be in ministry and still miss him. The tragedy of the human story is that there have been many and will be many more who are closest to Christ and miss him and are lost. Don't miss him. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
More than a million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right. Nor is it safe.
I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, you know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men.
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy.
Protect your wives, daughters, your sisters, your moms. Don't shop at Target. Let them know.
That's AFA.net.
Listening to the music of Planet Shakers, the song simply entitled The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of the ministry and mission of the Festival for Life event. And of course, the Festivals for Life are events that we've held For some time, actually, over the last 6 to 7 years, we've had somewhere around 44 of these events in different local churches. We've had them in Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Texas, been to Detroit once, been to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania as well. Our goal is to take it to, hopefully we'll be able to take it to all 50 states. Now, keep in mind, one of the goals, too, though, is basically to cast a vision for a pro-life sort of event that other churches can do, and we'd very much like to work ourselves out of a job here. Basically, it's an event any church could do once you see the format, the way whereby it's done. But again, we use movie clips, music videos, movie trailers to help share a biblical message about the need for the church to do two things: to aggressively come alongside and support the work of local pregnancy clinics, but also the need for the church, it deals with the need for the church to aggressively stand for life and help end the tragedy of abortion as well. Both of them are to be high priorities for the church. Yet sadly, many believers listening may think, well, you know, I don't know if our church has ever had a pro-life event. Well, that's sad. That's very sad, because the fact is abortion is so widespread in our culture that it's said that 1 out of every 3 or 4 women have had abortions. That means that it's so widespread, either directly or indirectly, abortion touches every congregation in this nation. Whatever your ethnic background, whatever your cultural background, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, whatever, again, whatever background you may be, it's so widespread it touches either directly or indirectly every single congregation. So for us as churches to avoid the topic or not address the topic is actually negligent on our part as the church. On the other hand, we should decide that we're going to aggressively address this issue, because the fact is, anytime, sadly, a family has the tragedy of abortion to happen within its ranks, it's like tossing a grenade in that family. There's so much collateral damage. Tragically, too often, you have the scenario where, say, a teenage girl, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, she becomes pregnant. And many times the parents quickly assume it's their right to make a decision for her. And too often they decide, well, we're going to take you to the abortion clinic. You're going to get an abortion, and we'll just put this behind us. Well, the reality is many times the parents don't know that that's against the law if the girl wants to keep her baby. If she's wanting to let that baby live, to keep that child, or even the place of her adoption, it's the girl's option. It's the mother's option to do that. But sadly, too many times the dad or the mom involved think it's their decision. But the law says it's the choice and the decision of the mom. And many babies have been aborted when the girl was saying the mom wanted to keep the baby, but the mother or the father involved decided they wanted to get an abortion. Sometimes it's the grandparents that are forcing the issue. Again, a dad or a mom or a grandmother can be prosecuted for doing that if she wanted to keep her baby. And of course, as it relates to more mature individuals, for example, women 25, 30, 35, 40 years old, whatever age they might be, it's their choice. And so if she wants to keep her baby and either a boyfriend or a husband's trying to coerce her, that's against the law. We really try to promote the use of the Dear Parent letter because it's a wonderful tool that helps to explain that that's against the law. Yet lots of people don't know the law, and so many girls who are teenagers who are carrying babies will often go through with an abortion against their will, not knowing that had they known the law, they could have stood up to their parents and the abortion clinic with a tool like the Dear Parent letter and basically shut down their attempts to force her to get an abortion. Even many times the law don't know the law. For example, I know of a true instance where in a city not too far from where we are, where a large city, where there was an abortion clinic, there were some sidewalk counselors outside the clinic. They saw a mother pulling her teenage daughter into the clinic, literally pulling her in. They called the police, and the local police came, and when they explained the situation, the policeman's initial reaction was, "I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do." Well, they handed him one of the Dear Parent letters that explains the law very clearly. After he read the letter, he immediately went into the clinic to try to retrieve that mother and daughter because he realized what she was doing was against the law. Yes, police don't know every single law there is out there. And so many times you could get that letter and maybe take it to your local police department and educate them on an important point to know about the law as it relates to this issue. So there are many things we all can do. All of us can pray. Any of us or all of us could download the letter, the Dear Parent letter. It's produced by the Justice Foundation, and you can go on your website and pull it down in 3 minutes. It's very easily accessible. Again, the Justice Foundation is the ministry that produces it. But get the letter, distribute it to your local high schools, distribute it to your local churches as well, and send it to the local police departments. Again, as you do things like this, you can help save babies. So as believers, we're to do our part. And so the Festival for Life is an event that, amongst other things, helps to educate us about things all of us can do to both help save babies and also stand for life and stand against the tragedy of abortion. So once again, we'd like to invite you, if you're in position to come to be with us tonight at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Again, that address is 116B Rankin Extended, 6 o'clock this evening. We'd be glad to have you come. The pastor is Pastor Marcus Jernigan, a great pastor right here in the city of Tupelo, Mississippi. Please come out and be with us if you can. If you can't be with us, please pray for God's Spirit to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through this event. And also, we'd ask that you pray for many, many more open doors. Now, a tragedy behind our effort is this. It's very disappointing how often some churches, when they know very much what the event is about, sometimes have responded in such a way. Well, for example, I recall very clearly one pastor in conversation with him, we were talking, and I shared what the event was about. His immediate response was, "I don't think we'd be interested in having that event at our church." And that's tragic. That's so tragic to me. And one of the reasons being is because I don't even have to ask him whether or not abortion touches his congregation. You know it does, because the reality is it is so widespread. Again, it touches every congregation in our culture. It's that widespread. Again, remember, 60 million babies at least have died at the hands of abortion over the last 40 years. And what a tragedy. And it's sad how many continue to die. Now, one of the truths that it's important for all of us as believers to be mindful of is that this is a problem, sadly, in all cultures and all ethnic groups. But it's important for us to understand, too, some truths that are out there that many people are not aware of. For example, Planned Parenthood is a very wicked organization, yet sadly, many people don't know it. Planned Parenthood is very racist in its goals and in its procedures and in what it does. And if you just Google, for example, Margaret Sanger's name and just listen to some of the quotes she made about, for example, groups she didn't like too much of, and African Americans was one of the groups that she didn't like. She didn't care for people that are disabled or people of certain other ethnic groups, but she very much didn't like black folks. And so look at some of the quotes. She'd say things like, basically to let you know that she wanted to exterminate people in the black community. And of course, Planned Parenthood to this day, right up until this moment, continues that basic philosophy. Many of their clinics are deliberately located in minority neighborhoods. Why? Because one of their goals is to specifically target and market the killing of babies in the black community. Why? Because they want to get rid of black folks. And that, sadly, they've been highly successful at one of their goals, and that's been one of them. Years ago, I lived in Middle Tennessee in the Nashville, Tennessee community, and I recall very distinctly the biggest Planned Parenthood clinic is on D.B. Todd in Nashville, Tennessee. That's a street that runs between Fisk University, a historic black university, and Meharry Medical College, a historically black medical college. It's a few blocks away from Tennessee State University, a major predominantly black university. Why are they located there? Because they strategically place themselves in places like that. Why? Because they target the black community. And yet, sadly, if you were to walk from the Planned Parenthood clinic up the hill to Meharry Medical School and ask them, for example, if you'd ask them, "What do you think about the KKK?" Your average student would say, "Well, they don't like us and we don't like them." But if you ask that same student, "What do you think about Planned Parenthood?" A typical reaction is, "Oh, they're wonderful people. They do wonderful things to help us in our community." Now, I want to say this very clearly to every single listener. The most dangerous kind of enemy to have is the enemy that lives next door to you and you do not know that they are your enemy. It's much easier to know that they live next door, but to know that they're your enemy. But if you think they're your good friend and in reality they're your enemy, you're in trouble, my friend. It's important to understand who Planned Parenthood is and what they're about. Yet sadly, lots of people in the culture as a whole and sadly, lots of people in the African-American community do not know the wicked beginnings and the wicked mission of Planned Parenthood right up until this moment. And sadly, we continue to have the reality that the U.S. government has continued to give Planned Parenthood somewhere between $1 to $2 million every single day. And brothers and sisters, they don't really need it because they make so much money killing babies, they don't need it. Yet they get that much money from the U.S. government. That's your taxpayer money and mine. So my hope would be that you and I would do what we can to help end this funding of abortion. And thank God we see some movement going on in that direction as the new administration is taking their place. So let's pray. Let's pray that God's will be done as far as ending the tragic work of groups like Planned Parenthood. Again, if you'd be interested in bringing an event like a Festival for Life to your church, we invite you to get in touch with us. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net, or you can give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381. And remember, all of us can do something to help end the tragedy of abortion and do something to help save babies. Lord, thank you for every believer listening. Thank you for the fact that you've given all of us something we can do to help stand for life, to help save babies, and to help end the tragedy of abortion in our lifetime and in our culture. Lord, help us to daily pray that more of these tragic abortion clinics would close down. Help us daily to pray that you would raise up more and more pregnancy clinics that in wonderful ways reach out and love women who find themselves pregnant at a difficult time, many of which share the gospel with them and help many of them come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Many of which you disciple them and help them to begin to grow up in their faith. And many of them help to pastorally love them, encourage them, often helping to provide a place for them to live when sometimes they've been rejected from their own homes, a place for them to live for them in order to be able to carry their baby to term. And Lord, thank you for the many, many other wonderful works and work and ministry that pregnancy clinics do. Father, send more laborers who will come alongside clinics to support them financially, to give of their financial resource to help them with the work they do, and to pray for them, to pray for you, to your blessing and your grace to be working on them and through them. And Father, more and more help us to know that there's a need for more pregnancy clinics to be open in other communities that do not have them. Father, more and more raise up more individuals who will decide, who will listen to you and do their part to help open more pregnancy clinics that will do just that. Do this, carry out this wonderful ministry in places where it's needed and presently not being done. And Father, raise up more churches that really have a vision to understand that, yes, this is to be a high priority for the church. All of us are called to stand for life and help end abortion. Help us to do everything we can, everything you want us to be doing to help move this kind of ministry forward. We thank you and we praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Again, if you have an interest in bringing a Festival for Life event to your church, once again, my email address is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to talk to you and get you more information. And remember, again, all of us can do something to help save babies and end the tragedy of abortion. Let's find out what we can do. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible line by line and verse by verse to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
Dr. Tony Evans says God has a unique calling for each one of us, but he points out that even though that destiny is designed for us, it's not just about us. He'll explain as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Rarely does God take you from where you are to where He wants you to be in a straight line. You never just go from A to Z through B and C and D and E and F. You go from A to R to C to U to S to Q to V. God bounces you around. Why on your route to your divinely designed purpose for being, your destiny, does God bounce you around all over the place? Sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes ugly. Number one is to develop your character. He wants to make you a better person, and He never does that without test. Tests are adverse circumstances that God causes or allows in order to develop us spiritually. There is a second reason for the detours, that God allows detours on His road to destiny in order to prepare those who He wants you to impact. When you arrive at your destiny, your destiny isn't only about you. Amen. So if it's all about you and nobody but you, you have not yet arrived at your destiny. Or even if you've arrived at it, you won't know it.
Dr. Evans has an extensive collection of messages online, something to speak to any need. Browse our library today by visiting tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 minutes with Tony.
Captive, there's a purpose where we path your day, each breath. appear at first that are God's in command. Though it doesn't seem clear, you know he has a plan. Why do you think Moses was discovered in that basket? And why was Daniel taken as a captive? There's a promise. Every path you take, each breath you breathe, and each step you make, there's a purpose. Every smile you give, a reason why you live. See, there's a purpose.
The music of Patricia Hunter, the song There's a Purpose. Thanks for listening to the Hour in a Session here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. I want to remind you once again, our website is urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, urbanfamilytalk.com. Hope you'll take time to go there and subscribe and also browse and take a look at some of the articles that are there, the blogs that are there that deal with different topics and issues that can help you to grow in your understanding of seeing things from a Bible point of view. In your life and in your world and the life of your family as well. Also want to encourage you to take time to obtain some of the free mobile apps we do have available for iPhone and Android devices as well. Just simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and that way you can have an Urban Family app to take Urban wherever you might go. Hope you'll take time to do that as well. We want to encourage you also, we do have a Cherubin, which is our chat room that it's, you know, good for you to make comments and just to share your thoughts if you wish to. And so we invite you to go on our website and enter in by way of the Cherubin as well. And then finally then, please go on our Facebook pages. That is Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like our Facebook pages. We'd appreciate if you do that. Today we're looking at the topic of the ministry and mission of the Festival for Life event. And again, we want to remind you that we do have a Festival for Life scheduled for this evening at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And if you're in the neighborhood or in the community, or even if you're far away and just want to come, we'd be glad to have you to come. It's at 6 o'clock this evening. The pastor is Pastor Marcus Jernigan. Hope you can come and be with us. That address is 116B Rankin Extended here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Hope you'll take time. If you can't be with us, please pray for the Holy Spirit to accomplish in our midst and in our hearts that all that he desires to accomplish as we have the Festival for Life tonight there, again, at Restoration Empowerment Ministries International Church. I want to share with you briefly, again, on the topic of, you know, the whole topic of adoption. You know, often it's important to understand this, that adoption is a very honorable and a wonderful thing, because the fact is that many couples, many families that for different reasons are not able to have children themselves but would love to adopt children that are happen to be orphaned or happen to not have or for whatever reason are available to be adopted. Well, I want to share with you briefly from a book entitled If Only the Hands That Reach Could Touch. It's a book that's compiled by Tom and Debbie Veely that work with New Beginnings International Adoption Agency. And I want you to really listen to the wisdom behind some of the stories. And these are a few excerpts from the book. And this one is entitled Choosing Life. So I'm just going to read it, but I want you to really listen because, again, there's real insight found here. Again, this particular chapter is entitled Choosing Life. Growing up in a minister's home, my childhood was filled with teachings of Jesus. I was taught to love God with everything and to love others as I love myself. My parents, grandparents, and other family in the ministry unanimously agreed on one thing: God was first. So it's understandable why Tom, the director of New Beginnings, had such a puzzled look on his face during our counseling visit. In a confidential conversation at the office, I just shared with him my immediate response to finding out I was pregnant. On that day, 5 months before, my mind raced with questions, anger overwhelmed me, and the last thing on my mind was the right thing. Everything around me was a blur of fear and compromise as I scribbled my name on a waiting list and proceeded to announce my intention of abortion to several nurses. I don't remember being taken into the back, switching rooms, and taking tests. though I'm sure it happened. If you knew abortion was wrong, why was that the first option you considered? That was the question she was asked. That's the question that she was asked. I thought about it, not sure how Tom would accept what I was thinking. The confusion showed in his expression, so I felt like I needed to give him an answer that was completely honest. This was her response. First of all, your generation doesn't think like my generation. Tom seemed to understand that part clearly. Then, using my fingers to count the names running through my mind, I continued, I could name 10 of my friends right now who have chosen abortion. His face now wore a shocked expression. My friends and I choose this option because we're not convinced it's really wrong. Tom leaned back in his chair and paused as if to take everything in. What made you change your mind? I smiled. That part certainly wasn't hard to answer. January 2007, 5 months earlier, I rested on a cushioned clinic table as the ultrasound technician gazed at the screen, determining exactly how far along I was in my pregnancy. Being curious, I asked her if I could see it too. Sure, she answered as she turned the screen toward me. What is it? I asked. Look right here. She pointed toward the bottom of the screen at a small oval. That's the body, and the smaller circle next to it is the head. Oh, I see it now. What's the blinking light? It's the heart beating. I stared in shock. This was a baby. It didn't look like a clump of cells. It was obvious this was a baby. I began to sob and to weep and asked to call my mom. I couldn't follow through with this choice. This baby was depending on me for life, and all of a sudden that was the only thing in the world that mattered to me. Adoption wasn't the first scenario in my mind, but it shortly proved to be the best one. The baby was a boy, and boys certainly need a father. He deserved nothing less than a godly married mother and father, and that wonderful couple and I were connected through new beginnings. Little did I know of the many beginnings God had in store for me. Tom and Debbie and the entire New Beginning staff were gracious and sensitive to the emotions I was experiencing as a birth mother. Few people in my life knew I was having a baby, and the counselors prepared me as well as they could for the process and aftermath of adoption. What I didn't expect was God's love at an intensity I had never felt before. The Lord met me many times in such strong ways, each time reminding me that I was not forsaken by Him. Scriptures had new meaning, and I was overwhelmed by the love that Jesus never failed to express, whether in the sermons on Sunday morning or the quiet moments of my early morning walks. He had been nothing less than wonderful to me. I chose life, and then I chose adoption for my baby. His adoptive parents give him more love than a child could ever ask of a parent, and they have shown me more love and appreciation than I ever expected. They are faithful in their promise to send pictures and updates, and every time I get a package in the mail, I can't stop smiling for a week. They brag about how smart he is and how much everyone loves being around him. Tom and Debbie see him occasionally in their travels, and they tell me he's the funniest child they've ever met. I have pictures framed all over the house with him posing and smiling with the smile of someone who sees life as one thrill after another. I love my son and his parents very much. This is not to say that my choice wasn't hard, because it has proven to be the hardest decision I've ever made up until this point in life. Grief has made itself familiar in my life, but it is a sweet grief. The pain of my loss is filled with a sweet reminder that I made the best decision for a boy that depended on me to fight for his life. I've done so with strength that can only come from God because He is the one I depend on to fight for me. As the saying goes at New Beginnings, babies are worth fighting for. And that was a story that was submitted anonymously. Again, an excerpt from the book, If Only the Hands That Reach Could Touch, a book by Tom and Debbie Veeley. The title of that chapter was Choosing Life. And a powerful statement that was made there is, as the young lady talked about her experience and her generation, she said, first of all, your generation doesn't think like my generation. And she went on to say, I could name 10 of my friends right now who have chosen abortion. And she finally said, my friends and I choose this option because we're not convinced that it's really wrong. Well, again, it's a reminder that we as the church have our work cut out for us, the importance of teaching truth and letting it be known that baby in the womb, how no matter what the baby's age, is a precious life created by God. And we as the church are to stand for life, we're to pray for life, we're to support those who choose life, and we're to encourage them to do that. And remember this, there's never a situation where abortion is a good option. Because abortion, remember, it's really a form of murder. And then one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not take innocent life, which taking of innocent life is murder. And so it's important for us to know that even though society may say it's okay, the Word of God is very clear. It's against the will of God 100% of the time. And we as the church need to stand up and make that known. So once again, I want to remind you, if you have an interest in bringing a Festival for Life event, an event at which many of these issues are dealt with from a biblical perspective, and they're addressed, and you're taught more about the life issue and how you and I can help both save babies and help stand for life and against abortion, if you have an interest, please let us know. Get in touch with us. Once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net, or you can give us a call at 662-844-5036, extension 381. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be glad to get more information to you. Or if you're just wanting more information about Festival for Life events and you just want to explore the possibility, again, contact us through those same means. Again, that email address, jparker@afa.net, or the phone number, 662-844-5036, extension 381. And, you know, one of the neat results of your church hosting these events typically is you have believers that are really excited and on fire about standing for life and saving babies. And often what is really great is when you have one individual that will get the Dear Parent letter and forward it to two or three dozen people they know. And, you know, when you do that, you're going to save babies. And you might say, well, how do you know that? Well, the fact is many of us don't realize how widespread abortion is. Yes, in your circles and in mine. It's been said that 70% of the people that go through the doors of abortion clinics to get abortions say they're Christians. So that means if Christians alone would stop getting abortions, that could help shut the whole abortion industry down. So again, don't ever make the mistake of thinking, well, you don't know anybody or don't travel in the circles of people who are affected by this issue. Every one of us travel in circles where people are affected by the tragedy of abortion. Let's seek to do our part. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we each have of being able to be advocates who will stand for life and have the opportunity to do something to help end the tragedy of abortion. Father, anoint us all afresh with a passion to do all that we can to be vessels that you can use to do just that, to reach out in love to when we find someone who may find themselves pregnant at a difficult time in life and compassionately seek to do all we can to support them, to pray for them, to help them. And help us, Lord, as local churches to do our part to love these precious women and help them in a time of need. Thank you for the chance to be involved. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to The Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, as we've been looking at the topic of the ministry and mission of the Festival for Life event. Again, if you want more information, email us at jparker@afa.net. Thanks for joining us. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.